So I was grappling with what to talk about tonight. Part of the question, of course, is that Rebbe wants to be away Friday morning, so I have to say that Friday morning Shmuz also. So I have to have two topics for this week's parsha. So I want to talk about the Yom Emuna, Makis Emuna. I think that's a topic we'll talk about Friday morning. So I was thinking of talking about the topic of Shavuot, which Jacob so eloquently presented the first salvo in the battle for Kedusha of the Parshas of Shavuot was presented by him. Those of you who missed it, you missed a tremendously wonderful presentation. You can ask him for a repeat. But I want to actually just to explain a little bit about the connection to Shavuot, and then I want to share with you a fascinating presentation by one of the yeshivas in the Stolener Yeshiva at the behest of the Stolener Rebbe about his approach to deal with the challenges of modern technology. It's an absolutely fascinating presentation. I'm going to go through what he presented. The original share was given in Yiddish, so it's available to hear it in Yiddish and see it written in Yiddish also. There is actually an English translation available. I got it as an email. Okay, so the Shavuot stands for the Parshas of Shmos, Ve'erabo, B'Shalach, Yisro Mishpatim. And actually, if you look, once it was pointed out to me by an Urberland Shayid, that they had the meaning in Urberland that they would only say that their special sikhas that they would say for Shavuot, they'd only say it in a year that it was a Hebrew Yor, and they called it referred to Shavuot Tat, because it would continue even into Parshas of Truma Tetzav as well. I cannot speak for the different Minhagim of Kol Yisrael, whether Dafkits in those years or not. It's Shavuot Tat or Shavuot. It's notes that are about the Shavuot. The Shavuot is this month which is Masugal for to address the Yanim of Kedusha, and it's a time of year where people give Shmuzin about Tznius, give Shmuzin about the Halachas in certain areas, give Shmuzin about Kedusha. The question is, what is the connection between the Yanim of these Parshias, Yanim of Kedusha? If we look at these parshiyos, it's the foundation of Klal Yisrael. It's Gula, Yisit Mitzrayim, Emunah in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Matan Torah, and Mishpatim, which includes the first mitzvahs which were given, and again the final account of Nesinat HaTorah, which takes place at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. If you include Truma Tetzava, that we move from there into the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Mishkan. Okay, so all of this version is here in Klal Yisrael, at least the Tzivuim about the Mishkan, which eventually brings the Kadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. Why that specifically is Masugah for the Yanim, to address the Yanim of Kedusha, if the Sforim break down that this is a Zman, that a person is Nichshol during the year in Yanim of Kedusha, maintaining himself properly in the Yanim of Arayis, etc., Histaklus, etc., Hehurim. So he can be misaken it during the time of Shavuot. Why is that? There's an Arizal, for those of you who daven from an Arizal sitter, which I don't think there's anybody here who probably does that. There's a tefillah al pi the Arizal to be said in the bracha of Tzakaba Shofar, that is to bring back the Golus. And he says over there that all the Nitzotzes of Kedusha, which a person loses, and if he's Nichshol and Chatoyim of Zera, so all of those Nitzotzes of Kedusha are in Golus right now, and the Tefillah over there is to bring them back, and Mekabetz Nidchem O Yisrael. So he sees that this is an element of Golus, this element of Geula. So that immediately we understand that from that vantage point, these are parshiyos of Golus and Geula. The issues are Golus and Geula. What's the connection between the elements of these elements of Golus and Geula? There's a billboard which I saw at one point in time. It's more common to see it in the inner cities, right? I don't remember the exact phrase. You'll apologize to the makers of the wonderful billboard. It goes something along the lines of, there's nothing worse than a wasted mind. There's no greater loss than a wasted mind. Something along those lines. The point being that you live in there's in the inner cities where people, potentially very intelligent people, and then they do not get the education they should get. They do not develop themselves with education as much as they should, and they end up falling into worlds of wasting their life, crime, whatever, drugs, etc. Nothing worse than a wasted mind. Potential is the most valuable thing that we have. If we understand, as was mentioned yesterday, that besides the union of Mitzrayim represents the everybody says it. The Mithun Leo says it. The Svasem says it. All the other ones before them say it. That we look at Mitzrayim as the idea of Mitzorim. It's limits. It's limits a human being puts upon themselves. It's potential which is locked up. It's potential which is locked up. And when you can bring that potential to fruition, that's Geula. That's this item which is cannot come to its reality, cannot come to its purpose, cannot come to its function, comes to its function. That's the moment of freeing, of cheiros, for that potential. The potential a human being has to create life is a tremendous potential. When it's not used properly, it's in golus. And our goal is to give it, bring it back to its purpose, bring it back to its function. That's very much Bekitzer, the topic which we grapple with. Why is it that we have such a challenge with the world of potential? We have a challenge with the world of potential in many, many ways. Not limited to the elements of Kedusha. And probably if we want to address this issue, we have to address this issue in a much more broad way than the focusing on the specific issue of Kedusha. The Tumah is death. You said, well, Tumah is death, and you look at all the elements of Tumah. Tumah represents, it's connected to the union of Misa. Aviyah Baisa Tumah is a human being, which is dead. A Nevela, which is dead. A Sheretz, which is dead. A Mitzrayim, which the Torah refers to his Basar Mace. A Zav, which refers to Lashon of, also Lashon of Basar Mace. A Nida is because the potential for Leda was ended. Even an act, your letters, she's had life within her being, which has been removed. They're all elements of that. There's a life which has been taken away. The opposite of Tumah is Kedusha, which is the potential for life to be fully lived. And that's why we connect the elements of the potential of life to the world of Kedusha. But forget about the starting points. Most people in our society, I believe that most people, the starting point is not what we call the issues of Kedusha and Taiva. The issues is the challenges are much more deep-seated and deep-rooted. There's addiction issues, there's depression issues, there's lack of motivation issues, the self-esteem issues. When a person is productive, a person is feeling good about himself, and accomplishing what he wants to accomplish, he doesn't waste his time with these things. They don't hold a sway over him, they're not interesting to him, they're not exciting to him. Because he feels good about himself and he's accomplishing with his life. When the potential is being fulfilled and being used properly, the other issues fall to the wayside. When the potential is not, so then, which our society has created a whole multi-billion dollar business in helping people become not produce their potential, getting sidetracked, getting to the point that he cannot accomplish. I've said multiple times that Yetzirah's goal is not to destroy your Olam. We picture the Yetzirah's goal is to give you Olam Hazeh and thereby destroy your Olam Haba. And that is 100% wrong. So Yetzirah's goal is to destroy your Olam Hazeh, and when your Olam Hazeh is destroyed, you are so distraught you lose both Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. So the person who has an anger issue, and he can't control himself, and he yells at his wife and his kids, and he loses affection of his wife and his kids. He has a happy Olam Hazeh. The person who's addicted to something which he doesn't want to be addicted to, and he can't control himself, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whether it's gambling, whether it's something, whatever it is, and it destroys his life, he has Olam Hazeh. What's the Yetzirah's goal? The Yetzirah's goal is to get you so distracted and so involved with something else that you end up feeling so distraught and so not happy about yourself, then you're vulnerable to do anything. I'm such a low life and such a worthless person anyway. Why not? Then you lose Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. That is the Yitzhar's goal. Yitzhar's goal is not to give your Olam Hazeh, which is not the mistake which you make, because then you say, well, you know, nothing but the Yitzhar. This is Yitzhar, kol kul Yitzhar. Every time Yitzhar comes along, it says, I want to distract you to read a kosher book. Totally kosher book. Now, we spoke the other day, a person needs relaxation, a person needs time out, a person needs to air out. Yes. How much do I need? Right? A person's honest with himself. You know, 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day, most people is sufficient to give them the distraction. Right? We have 24 hours in a day. Most of us sleep. Maybe we should sleep more. That's part of the problem. But we should sleep. But most of us sleep 6 hours, 7 hours. So these leaves you with 17 hours in your day. Just do the math. So where did 17 hours in your day go to? That's life. That's potential, which is being destroyed. Well, at end of a day, when a person looks back and he says, you know, I learned nicely 3 hours today, which is I wasted 14 hours, you're going to be depressed. So, I mean, I'm not trying to make you guys depressed. But, you know, so now that you're, you know, now that I pointed out to you that you're depressed, okay, so now let's figure out what you're going to do next. Now that you're depressed, you're just like, you lose motivation. So it's even harder the next day. To feel excited because, you know, I'm a little Yitzchak who can't get anything done anyway. So after a week of that, like, you know, you're just like, ugh. And now that you feel like, ugh, so the Yitzchak says, you know, why don't you just do this event already? I'll say, why not? Because I'm a guy who does it anyway, so why not? Shkoyach. And anyway, the veir is exciting and it's interesting and it's fascinating. It makes you feel good for yourself for a minute, about yourself for a minute, like, you know, it feels good. And he really got you. But his starting point was before he gets to that, before he offers the veir, he offers a lack of self-respect. Self-esteem, self-confidence, self-worth. He steals the most valuable thing that you have in your life, which is time. So the kosher book, or the kosher time on the computer, which... So a person comes along and says, you know, so one of the points that the Rebbe says, which I have to say is a valid point, so you have to use seichel. He says, why do you have this phone? Well, it saves me a lot of time. Because I have Waze on it. He quotes, he has Waze on it, right? And it saves me 10 minutes every day on my trip. Okay, Lama Zogin. And I spend 3 hours a day wasting my time on the phone looking at interesting things. So who won? Really? Like, let's be honest. But I gained 5-10 minutes with the Waze app. Yes, I have to have the phone. They might have the Waze app. And then I can look at this thing and read this thing. It's an alpha kosher. So I have to tell you, like, you know, the technology which you have nowadays is, it's a real issue. I also want to point out that there are much less traffic deaths. This is I'm quoting the Rebbe. There were much less traffic deaths before the age of cars. In the ages of horse and buggy, there was very few traffic deaths. I think about it, right? It was like, I mean, I'm sure there were times, you know, the horses got really, you know, scared, or they started galloping, and they trampled somebody. I don't know how many times, again, the population of America is smaller than also, like, you know. But, I mean, what do you think? I don't know, I did not do research, but I can't imagine there's many traffic deaths as, with horse and buggy, as there are with the car. So I think we should ban cars. You know, it's not, you know, Chodesh Osu Minotaro. It's not a good to have, new technology is not a good thing. You know, you have to be very careful with it. And we have to get rid of cars. Now, I have to tell you that the Stipler actually suggested such a thing in Eretz Yisrael. Because in Eretz Yisrael, right, so how do we deal with this issue? Right? It's a real issue. So what's the issue? The issue is safety features. The first thing, we put safety features into the car. So cars, they first started, didn't have any safety features. You know, they didn't have brakes to start with. It was like that's a great idea. You know, imagine a car doesn't have brakes. They came with this great idea. Let's put brakes into the car. It's such a smart idea, right? And they have airbags, and they have these. I read. I was in Eretz Yisrael this summer, and I rented a car, and it has this little thing up in the satellite connected. As soon as I moved over the line, it started screaming at me. Right, either direction. It was like fascinating. And then, you know, it also, like, if I got too close to the car ahead of me, it also started yelling at me. My wife said it's called a wife. It's supposed to cover for when she's not available, right? And it was like, great. So I asked her, what happens when you drive the car? What is it called? She didn't have an answer for that one. Okay. So first step is safety features. The second step is education. You make people aware. You make pedestrians aware. You make drivers aware. And you have all these signs all over the place. You know, don't, right, you know, better a message left unread than left dead. You know, whatever, you know, you keep pushing at it. Does it help? Advertising helps. Right? It does. How do I know it helps? Because there's a multi-trillion-dollar business called advertising. Right? These people have done billions of dollars worth of research to figure out that it helps. I don't know whether it helps or not, but apparently they believe it helps, right? And somebody's selling a good bill of lading over there somewhere, bill of goods. They're doing a good job. And the whole thing is a fake, I don't know, but apparently at least it seems to me that it helps. And then there are people which lose their license. There's people who can't drive because, you know, they've shown themselves. I remember I was once in a car accident. I was hit by somebody from behind, which sent me into physical therapy for many months. Right, and it was a poor young man who gets out, and he was so distraught, you know, about my situation. Besides the fact that he was so distraught because he was in a special class of drivers because he lost his regular insurance because he had so many accidents already. This one, he was going to lose his license, but he needed it for his work. But there's people who lose their license, and I understand why. After he hit me from, like, how he hit me, you know. There's people who can't drive because they cannot deal with the technology properly. So when it comes to technology, we understand that there are three steps. The first step is safety features. The second step is education. You got to talk about it, 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 to put up signs. Right, and then you have to realize there's people who cannot use it intelligently. Okay. Okay. Then he points out, and I'm just giving a very big kitzer because there's a lot here. He says he believes that there are 11 risk factors that you have to be aware of using modern technology, computers, mobile phones, etc. The first one is rius assuris. That's the most common one. It's a real risk factor. It's available in many, many, many different ways. Even if a person doesn't intend that it to happen, there's enough available. Even with filters, there's enough available that things will come up which a person doesn't want to see. So a person has to be aware that that's an issue he has to be aware of. The second issue, which is, he says he's not going exactly of the order of the what's worse and what's better. The second issue is the time wasting. I mean, if it's technology, like anything, again, the technology is not the trade. You have to be aware of the risk factor, right? I mean, we live in a country, there's this major debate about gun control. Right? So the people who are pro-guns, not pro-gun control, I said the issue isn't guns, the issue is the people who use the guns. Now, I'm not really into guns. I'm not a major fan of, like, having a gun. It's like, it doesn't really give me a thrill to have a gun. I don't actually even have a gun, so I can't tell you if it would give me or not, but I don't think it would give me a thrill to have a gun, right? But their argument is the problem isn't the technology. The problem is how people use it. And that is the problem. You can take this mobile phone and listen to Shurim the whole day and learn more Torah than you ever learned in your whole life. You have a guy who tells you that, you know, Imamish, he used to waste whatever, and now he pushes, sits and learns all the time on the subway there, the subway back, and this and that. He crosses over. He crosses over Gemara. He listens to Musa Shiurim. It's a Kabbalistic, and you can use it for total waste of time. Nothing trade necessarily, but it's a waste of time, and wasting time is a very, very dangerous thing. The third issue is the loss of concentration and focus. like it's the technology. I mean, they did a study. I'm so behind the times. Probably Sesame Street nowadays not even but the Sesame Street, all of the things. There was nothing in the Sesame Street which was longer than I forget how many seconds, like 50 seconds. Each part of that was always, because attention span is up to 50 seconds. It was the highest attention span. Now, I don't know too much about the history of the world, but I believe without a shadow of a doubt that in the 1600s, that wasn't the time span of concentration. It wasn't. Right? Because there's nothing in the world which took 50 seconds. So you had to learn how to concentrate for longer. But the Shiva Pesach, remember, he's giving a shmuz about, we live in what's called push-button society, he used to call it. The whole shmuz is in Yiddish, push-button society. It was like part of the, middle of the shmuz. I almost had to control yourself to laugh, like, really? He says, we want to be, everything should go quickly, everything should go easily. He says, Limud Torah doesn't work like that. Limud Torah is focus, it's concentration. And we're damaging it every time we get involved in these things. There's an addiction issue. Okay, then he gets involved in the cover based Knesset, which is that's not limited to a smartphone. It can be applied to any phone, right? But the idea that we're comfortable halachically, I mean, I'm Ani B'Soichom, not just using the phone, just the whole most of cover based Knesset and cover based Menorah is lost. You go through straight halacha, and with very little in the sense of heterim, according to Mishnah Berurah for sure, and the Mishnah follows follows very similar in the Piskei halachas, in the way Mishnah understands it, etc. There's what we do in Beis Medrash is aser, just period, simple. You can't choose the Beis Medrash. You can't. I'm not sure my shoes mean most of you either, but sometimes the jokes I say in the shoes, but right, but anything other than learning is much. He says, yes, there's a heter of achila in Beis Medrash for a person who's terosim nosei, and he, taking the time away from his learning by not eating a Beis Medrash would affect it. I assume it applies to drinking as well. I have to tell you that I grew up in Tel Aviv, but they didn't drink a Beis Medrash or eat a Beis Medrash when I was a bacher. There was no eating a Beis Medrash or drinking a Beis Medrash. The only exception was Thursday night late. At 1 o'clock, they used to give out cake for the guys who were still there for Mishra. And Friday afternoons in the summer, at 6 o'clock, the guys were learning, would come early to learn, there was cake. Vizehu. But you didn't drink a Beis Medrash. Remember, I came here, and we were in that little Beis Medrash before. The air conditioning was non-existent. And it was a nice, warm, wonderful Washington summer with no air conditioning, and I almost fainted. It was the first time I drank in Beis Medrash. I've drank them since then, but forget about it. But talking in Beis Medrash, shmoozing, very clear. Anything which is Latsanis, for sure. Then what's the Beis Medrash? I have to tell you, I have heard at least once since I've been here, laughter going on in Beis Medrash, and it wasn't from a Gevaldik of Pshat and Tosis. The people were so excited, they started laughing from the Pshat. It just wasn't. So what happened? Somebody said a joke. Maybe it was Lassumus of the Barazora, which is Mutter, I'm not sure it's Mutter Beis Medrash. I don't think it's Mutter Beis Medrash, but it's Mutter at least. Otherwise, it's not Mutter Elsa, period. Right? I mean, we're not holding it. I know all that. Fine. But realistically, what we do Beis Medrash is Elsa. So throw in the cell phone on top. And then there's a lack of sensitivity. I mean, I was at the Tirshu convention. And I had a phenomenal opportunity for Dan Lechav Sluz. I mean, it was a phenomenal opportunity for Dan Lechav Sluz, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting, they didn't put me in the dais, I was in the front row, front of the dais, with orders, if the dais gets too empty, please go up to the dais. That was actually my marching orders. But Gideshir, they didn't have room for all of them, they didn't want to look empty. It finished at 1 o'clock in the morning. So you realize by that point in time, it started looking empty, because a lot of the bodies started leaving. So they wanted the Gideshir. I left before that also. But, I was told by others that there was. So here I'm sitting in the front row, right under the dais. There's a person next to me during a drush, and it's totally silent, talking on a cell phone. Now, Rav's right next to me. But making an attempt to sound quiet. And I figured, listen, you know, it sounded to me like, you know, he was talking to somebody, either it was an elderly mother who wasn't well, or it was a disturbed mental child, you know, a child with mental issues, which he was trying, or it was, you know, some child left at home who was scared. He was trying to, you know, calm them down and said, okay, fine. Happened 3 times. So you start with Adam Lechavslus, you know, I mean, like, it's like, you know, okay. But like, it was total silent. I was very, very impressed. It was very impressive. The place was totally silent. Okay, that was one step of Adam Lechavslus. Then there was a person two seats to my left who just came in right before the third drasha, which was Rabbi Hofstadter's drasha. Who was, I mean, this man basically payrolled this whole thing. And the whole, I estimate he spent about $11 million a year on this whole project. So that's, you know, deserves a little bit of derech eretz for that. And he's speaking about this, you know. And this fellow starts talking on the cell phone. So the person two seats to the left screams out the word shah loud enough that the whole place heard it. Shah! It's like, whoa. I have to doubt him was also that, you know, the fellow doesn't stop talking. So this fellow gets up and he hits him. So I wasn't sure who to Dan Lechavskus more. It was like a great opportunity for Dan Lechavskus. The whole thing, I was like, wow. Like, Dan Lechavskus, he has something. Dan Lechavskus, that he just got a really bad day. You know, like, whoa. Like, you know, chill out, buddy. And I'm sitting like here in the middle, and I'm just like, please don't hit me. You know, like, you know. I mean, we have a problem with COVID in a schmooze that you talk to the person next to you. But, like, you know, a person not even there, like, you know, like, okay. The next risk factor is, you know, there's a shallowness. I mean, like, you know, somebody sees something, you know, we'll call it semi-intelligent. It means it's cute, but it's not really intelligent, not really of the level you really want to say yourself. On the internet, you know, some type of an email, whatever it is, etc. And he passes it on to everybody else. So I have somebody who does that to me. Like, you know, I get, why am I getting this stupid thing? What does it do for my life? Anyway, he wouldn't say it out of his mouth. I hope. And maybe after a while, you have to read it, and you would say it out of your mouth. But I wouldn't say it out of my mouth. You know, so it's like, is it also? No. Is it a Torah? No. Is it a Yisrael service? No. So what's the issue? It's an Avera. Yeah, well, there's a famous word from Yisrael Sartre. Zainish Kenar, now, don't be an idiot. Don't be a fool. That's where it goes into. That's like the 11th. He said that's the 11th of the Sarasa Debris is Zainish Kenar. So that goes into this one. Like, you know, we don't want to be Narim. Do you really want to? About this show, one time he said to Samirim, like you talk about Chassanim, like, okay, tell you the whole story, right? So a Chassan wants to write a letter to his colleague. He wants to send her a card. So he goes into CVS and he buys a card. And he feels that the card expresses very perfectly what he wants to say to his colleague. So he writes her name at the top and signs his name at the bottom, and that's it. So his colleague, very rightfully so, sent the back a message and says, are you saving it to use it a second time? Like, there's nothing personal you want to write to me? Like, you know, if you write something personal, you can't use it again. So that's why I could save money. I mean, really? That's what she wrote back to him. Like, you know, he deserved it in every which way. Right? But his mashgiach said, right, he says, so what you're telling me that you have nothing more to say to your kala, you, the wonderful yeshiva bacher, to this wonderful Yiddish amela, than 5,000 other non-Jews in this country have to say it to their non-Jews, Jewish fiancés. It really says perfectly what you want to say. That's all it does. Right? That's not us. These messages are not us. They still represent us. That's a risk factor. So you lose your edelkeit. Then he talks about attention. It affects a person's attention to the children. You know. Lama zog, and it's 100%. You do nothing treif with the thing. our children copy us, you know, and they are, they grow up with this stuff. It's like, you know, it's very scary, you know. You see 3-year-old kids which are facile, which using smartphones, you know, swiping it to the side, you know, the whole thing, like reading, watching the videos, like, you know, 3-year-olds. So how's that kid going to understand to control himself? So even if I'm using it in a way which is 100% kosher, you have to understand the impact the child watches. And it's I grapple this issue many different ways, you know. I once mentioned to a certain Rav, I was in a shul, and the Rav spoke during Kaddish. And I could not look up, so he had a very valid reason to speak during Kaddish. I said, well, I want to point you out, I know that, and you know that. There's 100 people in this room who don't necessarily know that, and they're going to learn for you to talk during Kaddish. And the conversation. So, unless it's something which is mamish, pikuach nefesh, you can't take that on your places. You know, and then let's pull out the Tosfos Yomtov, which talks about the reason why there's Derech Tachbetat, because people spoke during Kaddish, and spoke during in Shul. So even if they learned from the Rav, so the Rizal did not talk in Shul, period. He doesn't answer halachic shayla in Shul, because you don't talk, because people had a C, you don't talk in Shul, period. I have a valid reason to talk. I'm talking and learning. What's straight for that? Yeah, because if I talk and learn, you're going to talk in something else. Nothing personal, right? Right? I mean, you, the guy over there, the bat, right? You know, out the window, you know. Right? So people learn from us. Children learn from their parents. So they see that I'm different. And you might, but even if it's something true, like the kid doesn't have the candle to be typed as that. And then there's a regular to Kedusha. Regas of Kedusha, it's, you know, like, how do you explain Regas of Kedusha? Either you understand or you don't understand it, which goes to the next one. There's a concept called Sepasnish. Right? So we spoke about Sepasnish with the summertime. Sepasnish can be used nowadays. It's like, you know, everything can be, again, every single thing can be used properly and improperly. I can say, you know, Sepasnish, it's a way to use it as a cudgel to bang you over the head. Hey, Sepasnish. Right? So now I can beat you up for it. So what do I accomplish with that either? But there is a mushrik, like, royalty wouldn't do it. You wouldn't see Adam Gadol doing it. Why not? Anything trade about it? No. But he wouldn't do it. It's a pastish. But I'm not Adam Gadol. Okay. That is debatable. There's a fascinating Gemara about Makamah, Lachal Maisa, right? Gemara says, right? How much do you pay if you're Mavaza? Somebody in Klai Yisrael, so there's the payments. The more Mishnah says, Tarfon says, that if a person mavaza themselves, you know, they lower themselves, they act lowly, they don't have to pay. Rekiva says, no, everyone in Klai Yisrael is b'nei malachim. But the person acts lowly. Yeah, but we do not have a right to define ourselves as lowly people. We're not. And such a person is a pasnish. You wouldn't be happy seeing him do it. So why are you happy to see yourself doing it? I remember the first time I used a cell phone. And my own personally, I used a cell phone. I used a cell phone. I couldn't do it in the hallway. Talk to somebody is a private thing. You go to a room. I imagine there was another person who used a telephone, they had problems with it. Like, when I talk, you know, without seeing the person, there are heretics of seeing the person. How can you just, like, talk to this, right? And now, never I talk on the cell phone in the hallway. Obviously, there's a conversation which is private, but there's certain heretics, you're having a conversation with somebody, it belongs to me. There's a privacy that it belongs to. And we lose the sensitivity to it. We do. And these are risk factors. Now, why did I have a sensitivity? Because I can picture my rebbeim, and I cannot picture them using cell phones, because they didn't. Even when cell phones were available, they didn't. And if they did, they did it in a private room, because that's how you have a conversation with a human being. It's 2 generations later. So. These are risk factors that a person has to be aware of. And again, so then what are the issues? The issue, the first step is you put safety features in. The second step, which can be on the phone itself, and then there's Gedorim that a person does himself. The second step is education. You have to constantly remind yourself of these risk factors and be aware of how they're going to affect you. And the third step is that there are people who can't have a license to drive with the safety features and with the education and with the awareness. There are people who can't drive because they don't know how to drive properly. So with the safety features and with the awareness and education, there's people who cannot use technology properly. But that's not the goal. The goal is not to dress those. Let's weed out those people. We solve the problem. We didn't solve our problem. The same way driving, you have to constantly remind people of the safety issues. Constantly remind people to drive properly. That's why there's policemen out there. That's why there are billboards. That's why there are classes. That's why there are speeches about it. There's constantly talking about safety issues, education and awareness of safety issues, because it's dangerous. But nobody's advocating, let's go back to the horse and buggies, because the streets are much safer when the times of horse and buggies. They're not. It's here to stay, and we have to deal with it. We have to use it. We have to use it safely. You can't say, "Well, you know, it was much." You know, for Fallon, horse and buggies. You can't bring horse and buggies back. You know, it's a life of cars. Forget about everything. We try and deal with them as best as we can. We understand that they're dangerous. We understand their impacts. We understand that there are it's going to affect us in some way. So yes, this is technology which is here to stay, and it's going to become more and more ubiquitous. It's going to become more and more necessary. It's going to become more part of our lives. So what do? You recognize where are the dangers, and you try and address the dangers. You don't say, "Well, I don't need any protection." Huh? You know, I'm going to drive my car without brakes. Really, I don't want any airbags in my car. I don't need airbags. I drive very carefully. An idiot would say that, right? I want airbags in my car. I want to be safe. I like to have this warning thing that when I get too close to the car ahead of me, yeah, it's annoying a little bit. But one time, it helped me. You know, my life is very valuable. It's very annoying. I'm driving along in the streets of Eretz Yisrael, and I keep safe distance, and the car pulls right in front of me. Oh, it's a beep, 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 beep. The thing, you know, the light turns red. It's like flashing at me. I'm too close to the car ahead of me. You know, it's annoying. I didn't move the guy moved the next to me. It's not my fault. You know, why yelling at me? I should have the thing like beep the guy ahead of me type of thing. You know, that I would have liked, you know. Right? Now, any other Israeli taka would have honked the horn. I have better things to do with my life, right? But if one time I taka dozed off and I didn't notice it, it saved my life, isn't it worth it? It's very annoying, but isn't it worth it? So do I want it? They didn't give me a choice. They gave it to me anyway. But what I asked for it? I'm not sure I would ask for it. But now that I have it, I'm going to fight about it? What am I? I'm a stupid idiot. I can control myself. I drive phenomenally. I do. I'm a phenomenal driver. I happen to be off an MS. Baruch Hashem, I'm driving many, many, many years. I received one ticket in all my life. Jealous? Huh? Okay, good. Right? Never, I won't tell you I was in an accident. The guy hit me from behind. And that's not true. See, I got two tickets. One of them I went to court and I fought it because it was the policeman's fault. And I told him that. I had a witness in the car. He didn't show up. Now, it was an Israeli bar who didn't understand English, but I didn't tell him that. But the Maisa, he was at fault. It was the policeman's fault what happened, you know, whatever. Baruch Hashem, Leonora. And I've driven many, many, many miles. I put an average of 15,000 miles on a year in my car. But I don't want safety features in my car. Because I'm such a good driver, and it's beneath my dignity. So I get a thrill out of the challenge. I do. I enjoy driving when I'm not half asleep. But which is all the time because I don't sleep enough. Right? It's not beneath my dignity to have help. I understand I'm a human being, and there's mistakes. A human being makes mistakes. But my cell phone, Chassid Shalom, you tell me what to do because I'm such a strong person. I don't deal with it. Why are you yelling at me? What's your problem? Idiot! What's your problem? I have the problem. You don't understand there are dangers there. But you don't understand, you need help. You don't want help. You don't want education and awareness. You don't want safety features. And you don't realize that some people can't drive. Like, what am I saying? This is so illogical. I had this conversation once with somebody. My rabbi once pointed this out to me. He says, I've never had the experience. I walked over a person and I says, you know, I noticed that you left your lights on in your car. I never had the person say, excuse me, it's one of your business. Don't tell me what to do. It's my life. I want to leave lights in my car. I can leave lights in my car. Why are you telling me what to do? Get out of my life. Stop it. I never had that experience. Why not? Because I'm just trying to help the guy. But if I tell a bucher, don't do something. Why is that what to do? What's your problem, bucher? Not me. What's the difference? They ask you to help you with your lights. Okay, I'm insulting you. Oh, really? Well, I told you with your lights or I wasn't insulting. Why was it an insulting? Because I pointed out that you're vulnerable, you're a human being, and you make mistakes. And it's very, you know, and you forgot to throw off your lights, you know, and I mean, it's really insulting. You say, oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it very much. I don't want my battery to go out. And I can't afford another battery right now because, you know, my mother just told me if I waste any more money, she's going to do the hula to me. Baruch Hashem, thank you very much. And I go and turn off the lights. So what is our problem? Our self-esteem is so low that if somebody points out something which tells me, I get so bristly. What's our problem? What's your self-esteem problem? Be honest. What's the problem? We need help. I need help. I'm old enough to admit it. I make Kabbalas. I write them down in my app. Then I update the app and the app gets lost. All the information is gone. And it's gone. I didn't back it up. Or I used an app which I didn't check out beforehand. I checked it afterwards. The reviews are horrible. Like every 2013, a great app. Yeah, but then when they updated it, they lost all of my lists were lost. 2014, the same thing. 2015, the same thing. 2016, the same thing. Kabbalah, why did I do such a stupid thing? Such a stupid app. To keep my Kabbalahs free of the Roim from. It wasn't precious enough to me to figure it out. So I'm stupid. Yeah, I'm stupid. I learned a lesson. Hopefully I won't do it again. I need help. Like, what's the problem? To Rabbosai, those are the three things. The three things are we need safety features in our cars. Cars is a form of new technology. Life is much safer, I have to tell you. Much less deaths in the time of the horse and buggies. But it's here, and we're going to use it. We're going to have to learn how to use it right. And we're going to go, and there's driving school. Because it's a really dangerous thing, a car. It's a car at 65 miles an hour. It can kill a lot of people. So you learn how to use it properly. And you put safety features into it. And then you recognize that certain people, no matter what, cannot drive. We recognize the risk factors about how it's affecting our lives and can affect our lives and affect our lives for many, many years to come. And not just, again, Rias Asuras, but wasting our time and changing our mind and affecting how we concentrate and affecting the addictions and the lessons that we teach other people and the fact that we become insensitive. Because we get used to what the society is a standard of speech and thought. Those are all dangers. So we need safety features. We need awareness education. And we need to understand that someone says we can't use it because we don't know how to handle it properly. And maybe one day we will be able to. The guy can go through give him a course. They give him a test. You get a probation. You can try it again. And that makes a lot of sense. There's nothing illogical about what we're saying. And when it comes to technology, it's the exact same thing.